Mary Ann de Grandpre Kelly describes herself as Chicago-born, Montana-bred, longtime St. Louis resident, mother of five, grandmother of 11, teacher for 30 years, writer, reader, traveler, selectively accepting challenges. I might also say one of the warmest people I've ever met in my life. She didn't put that in her bio, but she could. Mary Ann Kelly received her BA from the College of St. Catherine and master's from Webster University and is a member of Lifelong Learning Institute at Washington University. Please welcome Mary Ann de Grandpre Kelly.
Thank you. I want to thank you all for coming out tonight. I know that there are Martin Luther King events, and it's also a night for the debates. You all knew that? And I thank you for coming. And this is called Crayons and Concord Grapes. You make stick dolls by the grapevine, branches clinging to the fence rail, your hands shape leaf skirts in the sturdy bramble lace, knees in dirt, and play pretend, soaked in robust light absorbing nectar from a blue sky. Sun-dressed mama, bare arms stretched high, hangs wash still warm from the last slosh in the granite tub, sheets rinsoed whistle white, blaze to a gleam, blown ample in the breeze. She hangs your father's shirts, soaked earlier in the pot of boiling starch, hinged wooden pins pinching up their hems. Five of them, one worn fresh each workday, flap their tails along the clothesline, loosened on lucky days for work on jump rope skills. Butterfly, butterfly, tie your shoe. You see the stretch of skin rubbed raw red between her thumb and fingers from the twist of making sure the water's out. The grape bloom peaked deep purple, almost black, is so sugar plump it jets juice when you sink still rooted baby teeth into its skin and tongue roll jellied seed pulps inside your cheeks. This day is your crayon box, yellow, blue, her hands red, warm, concords darker than Lenten vestments, and a white, bright as the last light you'll see. This is one is a little different. This is from that one. This is called Counting Money. I do not like to count my money in public. It talks, endangers, provokes a lasting impression. The flea market. A blue bandana woman thumbs through the used record covers, counts out bills faded thin as worn cotton for an old Dylan and says, I washed my hands, but they still smell like sardines and dirty money. The grocery store. A crowded checkout line. A boy squirms, whines for juju beads. A father's face reddens. He thumps the boy's head, hisses, shut up. The boy turns to face him, punches his thigh with a small fist, yells, I hate you, Daddy. The pub, 2 a.m., thick smoke, full spittoons. A woman rummages in her purse, just one more, and then mumbles, I need to count my money. Translated, I need the bathroom. Lifts her elbows from the bar, hastens to the back, latches the door, returns, announces, I gotta get home to the kids. Her pink painted house, kitty corner from the pub. Family picnic spot, sweet sagebrush, a creek cooling, beers, frayed afghan, tossed across the rough grass, clots of chicken salad. An aunt faces her niece, states, I could have gone to college, but I had to raise your father. And stingy voiced, get up and help, clear these dishes. The driveway, at dusk, a man chases a woman. From their house, she runs to the car, arms pumping to increase speed. She's silent with a clutch of keys, pockets of saved coffee can cash. He drags her back, arm around her throat. She stumbles on the gravel. Next day, the neighbor sees her at the mailbox, whispers, "White trash." This is called A Miner's Obituary. And supposedly it comes from the Evening Intermountain, July 20th, 1928, with editor's remarks. "Today, the many friends of Finbar Shea shipped his body from Butte, this western copper camp in the U.S. of A., to be buried in the Barra Peninsula of Ireland. The icy Alahees, his home, a lonely coastal finger calling back its exiles. His last wish was scratched on paper scraps found crumbled, smeared in the dirty pocket of his overalls. Once my body's cold, have Dugan's mortuary spice it up and ship it home, but first be sure my wake is held 2 nights at the Goodwill, free beer and shots. Then in that freighter going over, I'll sleep sounder than in Buckley's boarding house. The mines is all I know, like one of them blind tobacco-chewing mules. Just load me up with ore and Peerless. I'll pull the car and stay below all 24. I've wrestled at the Badger, the Mini Healy, the seven stacks of the Never Sweat, and always ate the pasties the cooks packed up for me. Send me home. That's the only way I'll leave this town." Finney knew the town's rough lure, its all-night joints, the names of ladies on Galena Street, the sight of hoists and gallows frames topping the richest till on earth, where drillers blast black powder 3,000 feet below. From deep inside the orphan boy, the black rock, he pickaxed, chewed dust, and mucked out high-grade ore, fed mice his bucket crumbs on graveyard shift. He believed in solidarity forever, and knew the sky stayed dark past noon, and dawn had no power to penetrate the haze of smelter fumes. Finney's cause of death was silicosis. He stayed for 30 years and had no relatives here, his date of birth unknown. Now the village women where he was born will drape their laundry near his gravestone, spread white linen shirts on hawthorns to dry, and his deeds will drift away on the wet Atlantic wind. Richard, shall I go on? This is called The Beast of August in Resurrection Cemetery. This day was then. I hope the day will pass. This, day one after the funeral, the day nothing happens like it ever happened before. Nothing remains of a basket of fruit, or, least of all, a fistful of wilted grocery store flowers. The oversized Vornado pushes hot air through empty bedrooms and hums, and mail, if there's any, is undelivered on Sunday, which is always quiet. No need to clean up, because the mourners left the kitchen spotless. The library is closed. I have no errands to invent. August is hot enough to make the eyebrows sweat. Now, earlier this morning, driving home through the cemetery, its tarred road a hot plate, when my fingers touched the grass to pull the weeds around the stone, they burned. I thought I saw a circus. Top-hatted men wobbling on stilts, hands flagging their black silk pants and shiny blue star balloons bouncing their strings, tied to poster-flapping kiosks. Happy as birthday cakes, the glazed frosting catching light. When I got up close, a lot of action turned out to be nothing but granite angels, upright obelisks, fake vases insubstantial as lace, stuffed with gladiolas, and a hot wind drying fissures in the ground. One thing I'm glad about this day, I left the sprinkler on, and cold water is sopping my burnt lawn. This is called The Night After the Party. Over an hour, thunder has rolled, clouds have thickened and darkened the fields of cornrows, but no sign yet of rain, although cars on the road zoom home and couples spin through the dark, passing under the earth-chambered lull, hummed before storm. Safe in our house, we wait for wind blast to sail through trees, to silence the drums of cicadas, rough, incessant, tormented, public ruckus of love. The collie barks at their chorus, yips when screens bang shut, a gust whips spiders from corners, birdhouses swing high, jettison, thistle and millet. Last night's party wasn't this good, even with orange Chinese lanterns festooning trees, lighting up faces. I saw flames leap from the barbecue, frame your silhouette playing guitar, country boy, in your Stetson on night before solstice. Now sudden splats raise circles of dust on dry ground. They've been on arrival from miles above. Crash, rain breaks in spikes, upstarts the tender spring things. For hours, stark limbs batter at windows and the rumbles throb. Bolts split the sky till we descend to the cellar, check food supplies, huddle and wait for commotion to stop. Eventually the drench dies to drizzle and Spot quits his whine. You lift the door. From below we are stricken by stars, a clean somber moon, drops of lucite clinging to leaves, a soft wind hinting, look what I can do. It's silence larger than our life on earth. When fairies steal children. This is based on Yeats' idea of fairies. With a fairy hand in hand, the children, for the world's more full of weeping than you can understand. And it begins with, I see the children playing on the beach, tagging in the rushes, knobby-kneed, and teetering like curlews on the sand, lured to stride the danger edge of shore, when a malefic wave of ocean woos them to the water, and they're abruptly stolen, arms pummeled into feathers, skimming flawlessly like water birds soaring high above their homes, caught now in the white hypnotic heaven. Its painter's wash of light changing blues to violets, and last tonight so dark I cannot find them. Their fate is tangled with the folk, but they remember chasing on the dunes. For all their worth, they challenge spears of lightning, whirlwinds, and sleet, reckless on their search for rescue ships. Now my days are weighted by tales falsely told in sleep of children locked hand in hand with fairies, lost to the impossible, circling unwashed, hungry, footing hills in worn-out shoes, and I, unrecognized, too pained to weep. Grant me a tinker's magic shilling for my pocket, and I'll escape this planet, call them back from chaos. We'll link arms and hire a band of kilted pipers, deck ourselves with trinkets, celebrate once more. Arise giddy in the dawn. This is my last one. It's called Lettuce, Tomato, and Corn. I am in the backyard thinking about a garden, leaning on my shiny steel lady shovel from True Value. Dirty hands, broken nails, grimy cuticles, the sun is hot, wet underarms, the screen door slams, and my son walks out. In the garden, under all that daylight, he announces his girlfriend, Miss Prom Queen, conductor of the pep band, drum majorette, who scores the highest grade in all her classes, including advanced Latin, and he are getting married. Oh, and he is thinking about becoming a minister. a slight ripple of the earth beneath my feet. And I, in my new high-topped, yellow-rimmed Wellingtons, moments earlier was making plans for a lettuce and tomato summer. Now startled and thinking, silence, stand still, hear him out. But I am sinking deeper into compost, my shovel for ballast. I play flip-flop with the hose, continue nodding while he grins his news. Then, good boy that he is, says, "Just joking, Ma." He is a minister.